It's the Buckeye Leafcast with your host, Andy Evans and Kevin Imes.
Think about who's, and I don't have another way to say this, so without, I can't figure out in my dumb dinosaur brain how else to say this, but.
And now, it's the Buckeye Leafcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Buckeye Leafcast with your hosts. I'm Andy Evans, and my man coming on doing a little OSU Buckeye win over the Penn State Nittany Lions recap, among some other things we're going to plan on talking about with you guys on a beautiful Sunday morning here in Columbus, Ohio. My man, Kevin Imes.
Good morning, Andy Evans. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, whenever we wake up, as I've always said, on a Sunday, and we're celebrating a big Buckeye win, especially one over a top 10 team, national primetime game is always a beautiful way to wake up. You know what I mean?
Outstanding. Outstanding. I agree 100%. I got my coffee, sitting here with my coffee and my water, and very excited to talk some football with my buddy Andy Evans today.
Did you go out and get a Columbus Dispatch?
No, I will never do that again. That is the most ridiculous thing ever. A $5 paper and it didn't even have the recap of the game in it. So no, done with them.
Well, I would expect that there would be a recap of yesterday's game, considering it was a noon start. So I'm sure if you bought a Sunday Columbus Dispatch today, you're going to be seeing a recap, among other things. But, yeah, $5 for a bunch of paper, that's still pretty crazy. But
yes, I agree 100%.
But the recap, Kevin, number two, Ohio State, stays undefeated with a 28-17 win over the eighth-ranked Penn State Shittany Lions in the Horseshoe yesterday. Couple of huge performances from individual players on the Buckeyes. J.K. Dobbins, 36 carries, 157 yards, two touchdowns, and he now sits third all-time in Ohio State history in rushing yards for a career. And then, of course, our boy, your man, Chase Young. Dude, what a game from the junior. I mean, first of all, let's just talk about the fact that he is now the single season sack record holder in Ohio State history, passes Vernon Golston, and he did it in style yesterday, dude. 9 tackles, 4 for loss, 3 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles from the junior from DeMatha High School out of Maryland, dude. Just unbelievable performance. I mean, when the kid plays. And he shows up for the biggest games, has done so in virtually the two biggest games the Buckeyes have played so far this year, on Saturday against Penn State, and he did the same thing against Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness, dude. Just crazy.
Yeah, so from the first play of the game to the last play of the game, Chase Young was quite overwhelming for the offensive line of the Nittany Lions. It was really fun to watch. I think that we saw yesterday what kind of impact he really does have on the game. I know that Ross and I didn't agree, one of the other guys we do a podcast with, that Chase Young was that big of a deal. He was kind of the cherry on top, I kept saying. But yesterday, he was the whole Sunday. So I was obviously wrong about that. I think maybe he puts himself back into the conversation of Heisman. I know that it's not going to happen, but we might have two Buckeyes in New York, We might only have to pay for one hotel room up there with those guys going up to with the Heisman. But, Chase Young is something else. The speed, the quickness, the toughness. He's got a nose for the ball. He was all over the field yesterday, played both left defensive end and right defensive end. They couldn't stop him. I think they had 2 or 3 false starts for whoever was going to have to try to stop him. So, yeah, Chase Young is something else, brother.
Just unbelievable performance, and you're right. Probably, I'm not so sure if he's going to find a seat in New York. I think he's deserving, but I think, unfortunately, the black eye of the 2-game suspension might hold some of the voters back in giving him a seat there. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, this guy, just a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, dude, seriously. obviously. 3 sacks yesterday. And, you know, once again, 4 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. Unfortunately, both of the fumbles that he forced did not result in turnovers, but
right.
Still just an impressive performance from him.
But you almost got to add safety to that. He was an inch and a half away from a safety.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I don't know why they dropped back to pass in that play. I have no idea, but
you
drop back to pass and number 2's coming off the edge, you're in trouble.
I think you just touched on it, the fact that he forced some false starts, too. I mean, that's how much of a presence that guy has. I think it was like 4th and 2, and he caused a false start. I don't know if that was specifically it or not, but I know there was one
that
play.
That was on the same drive that we almost got him in safety, wasn't it?
I think it was a little bit later than that.
Okay.
At any rate, yeah. I mean, he's causing guys to jump offsides on the opposing offensive line. I mean, that's just how much of just a scary threat he is. Is that dudes? They want to get a block on him as soon as possible. And just his presence there alone is causing other guys to false start because he's just so fast getting around the edge that they need as much time as possible to try and block him because they know they're probably going to get beat. So
right, which they, you know, you're right. They need as much time to block him, but they ain't blocking him. It isn't happening.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
Performance from him. Once again, J.K. Dobbins, now 3rd all-time in OSU rushing history, had 157 yards. Hell of a performance from him. He's now got like 1,446 yards on the year, Kevin. So 1,446 right now actually puts him 4 yards behind Archie Griffin for 11th place, and he passes now Eddie for 12th all-time in rushing yards in a single season. Eddie,
in the country?
In Ohio State history.
Okay.
Yeah, so Eddie...
Well, I will say a couple things about Dobbins. Really excited for the young man to pass Eddie George with Eddie George on the sideline.
Yeah.
I thought that was really neat.
Yep.
How many yards would Mr. Dobbins have if he would play a whole game?
He could potentially have 2,000 yards this year had he not been held back out of so many games. I mean, yeah, Rutgers, he didn't even play the second half. I mean, in how many games like that did we see where he was pulled by at least the 4th quarter, if not after the first half? So, yeah, I could easily give him at least, 400 or 500 more yards?
Yes. Yes, easily. Hey, what's your take yesterday on what happened with Master Teague?
What do you mean? The fact that he didn't play a whole lot?
I thought we'd seen some more. Do you know how many touches he had?
In yesterday's game, let me see. I don't know how many touches per se, but here is his final stats for the game. 2 carries, 7 yards, 1 catch for 5 yards.
Okay, so he touched the ball 3 times yesterday.
At least, yeah.
you
know nothing.
It looked like the first play he was in the game, then he ran the wrong play.
He was hit for a loss. He like scooted to the outside. But I give credit to Penn State's defense because as we were talking about on Friday night, you know, this is one of the best rushing defenses in the country. And the fact that Ohio State ran for 229 yards, which I called 203 touchdowns, and they ran for 229 and 2 scores, I'm not surprised necessarily that Ohio State was able to do that because that's just how good their offensive line has been this year and how good obviously Dobbins and Teague and Fields, all three combining to run the football this season and their stats lending them to be the 4th best rushing offense in the country. But I give credit to Penn State on that play because I think that they forced him to the outside. I think he wanted to cut it up, and he kind of skirted a little more of the outside than he wanted to. And Penn State was obviously just that good and that fast to tackle him for a loss. But the next carry that he had, his last carry of the game, was good for an 8-yard run up the middle, and I believe that was good for a first down. I can't remember if it was second or third down when he ran that ball, but still, I just think that Master Teague, obviously we know he's a baller, he's a player, but I think in these big time game situations, we're not going to see Master Teague as much as we've seen him throughout the season, just because obviously Dobbins is that good and you want to rely on your, you know, stud bell cow back to carry the football. But
well, he definitely had, you know, the ball roll. He was ready to go. He came out of the gate ready to go.
Oh yeah,
he was moving the ball. You know, I don't think he really had a big signature run. I think he had the one run for 22 yards off the left side of the offensive line, down the the west sideline.
Yeah, that was like his first carry of the game too.
So he really didn't have, but he was very Zeke Elliott-esque, just kind of keep feeding me the ball. Yeah, it was like you said. Penn State's defense was a lot better than I thought. I know that they were ranked number one, but you know, had they played, I forget, had they played Wisconsin yet?
No, they did not play Wisconsin this year. I'd say their one big game was probably Minnesota, and that's, you know, one of the two that they lost. So of their two big games this year, Minnesota and Ohio State, they lost both of them on the road. So in fairly tight contests. Now, Buckeyes came into this. I had heard that they were like a 20.5 point favorite by the time kickoff came. And I know
late in the day. Yeah, not late in the day, but late in the morning, I think at 11, I'll look at my text messages, but I think at 11:56, I got a text from a guy that I talk to on Saturdays and Sundays that the line had moved. So yeah, it was 20.5.
Yeah, and I mean, it had been flirting with that 19-point line pretty much all week long. And, you know, this is what happens, Kevin. See, this is why I don't predict Ohio State to blow other teams out. Because when I do, then it doesn't happen. Now, I'm not going to rag on them for having an 11-point win over the 8th-ranked team in the country. I think that was a solid, solid win yesterday. There were some mistakes. They were exposed. We'll talk about that in a second. But the fact that, you know, an 11-point win, but they didn't cover the spread, I thought they would. I called them 38-17, so I hit the Penn State score right on the head, but I was 10 shy for the Buckeyes. But, you know, had the Buckeyes not committed some mistakes yesterday, Kevin, it very well could have been a 38 or a 41-17 win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was very unlike the Buckeyes. We had some pretty silly penalties. The turnovers, that was gross. you know, starting with Fields. I'm anxious to see how the gentleman, Justin Fields, how his hand is this morning, how he feels.
Yeah.
If he's going to be 100%. You know, nobody's 100%. You know, when you play football, a grueling schedule like the college football does, or even like the NFL, of course, that's way more grueling. But nobody's 100%. But hopefully that left hand isn't that big of a deal. But I think he took quite a hit to fumble that ball. It was pretty obvious. I was sitting with my wife, and she's screaming, "Touchdown, touchdown." I don't know what it is, but she cannot stand Penn State. She's going crazy next to me. And I actually walked out of the room because I was a little upset. I couldn't watch it there. I couldn't watch the replay. But anyway, then the third, you know, we played 44 quarters of football this year, if I do my math right, 11 games. Four quarters in each game, right?
Is that right? I think 11 times 4 is 44, last I checked.
Okay, good. So we played 44 quarters of football, and 43 of them have almost been perfect. It's kind of hard to sit back and say, why did we do what? What's wrong with us? You know what I mean?
It's funny because, yeah, I was at a local establishment watching the game yesterday with some buddies. And, you know, it cracks me up when you've got these Buckeye fans who, I mean, they're screaming, they're yelling, like, oh, gosh, why in the world did you just get tackled by that Penn State defender? And it's like, you know, folks, we're talking about the eighth-ranked team in the country. We're talking about one of the best rush defenses in the country. We're talking about a fellow Big Ten East Division school that does a pretty damn good job of recruiting high-profile caliber athletes themselves. So if you sit here and honestly expect Ohio State to just walk out on the fucking field, throw your hat down, and the other team's just going to go curl up in the corner and cry and suck their thumb, especially in a game like yesterday, being Penn State, given what we've seen out of the last three previous games to yesterday of how those games went down between Ohio State and Penn State.
You know, 5 points.
Come on, five total points in three games.
Yep.
And the last two, obviously, were comeback wins by 1 point apiece by the Buckeyes. So, you know, folks, this was a good football team. Maybe not an excellent, obviously, football team or even a great football team, but still a solid Penn State team that, quite frankly, could go 12-2 on the year. You know, they've got one more game.
They most likely will.
Yeah, I mean, they got one more game against Rutgers. Then they've got their bowl game. I'm sure it's going to be
Florida, the Gator Bowl, or something like that.
It could be, yeah, like against another high-profile team. I don't know necessarily about a BCS or what they call a New Year's Six Bowl, but still, you know, and these people, they just crack me up. They're just, they're going nuts, and I'm just, like, sitting there shaking my head, like, laughing. You know, some of these old codgers at the bar, and I get it. They've been a Buckeye fan their entire life, and this is supposed to be one of the most dominant Ohio State teams ever that the history of the school has seen, and, you know, all
it
that
is,
stuff.
Easily.
And this rightly, depending on how they finish out, you know, this rightly could, if this is an undefeated national champion Ohio State team, then yeah, this is going to go down as one of the most, if not the most dominant team in school history.
But if you talk about, and I know we still have to play Ann Arbor next week, I get it, but if you take just the Big Ten regular season, we beat every opponent except one up to this point by more than 24 points.
Yeah.
That's going to put us in the Big Ten games. That's going to put us as one of the best. This is going to be one of the best seasons of Big Ten football Ohio State has ever played. It has to be.
Well, and with yesterday's win, of course, Kevin, the Buckeyes clinched the Big Ten East, solidified a spot in the Big Ten championship game. Just got to find out who they're going to play come this weekend when Minnesota hosts Wisconsin, and that should be a fun game to watch. I'm actually looking forward to checking that game out after the Buckeyes.
I'm very excited to watch that. Hopefully, bachelor party day, we're not too far gone. I do want to watch that game. I really do want to watch that game. I'm excited about it. I was watching Minnesota yesterday on the split screen. That's a good football team.
Yeah, they're a tough team, dude. This is if they can obviously beat Wisconsin, because whoever wins that game is going to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship.
Right.
I'd almost like to see us play Minnesota, quite frankly, because we've now played Wisconsin. You know, we already played them this year. We've already played them in two previous Big Ten championship games. Let's see some fresh blood in this Big Ten championship game. Of course, Ohio State played Northwestern last year, and that was kind of fun just to see Northwestern make a Big Ten championship. But I would love to see Ohio State play Minnesota. I don't want any part of Wisconsin in a rematch.
I don't really care who we play. I do like to see new blood. But I... 3 weeks ago, Ross said Coach of the Year, and goodness sakes, PJ Flecker,
Let me tell you what, they beat Wisconsin, regardless of what the Gophers do against the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game. PJ Fletcher, Coach of the Year.
Oh, yeah, he might be National Coach of the Year.
He could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about who's, and I don't have another way to say this, so without, you know, I can't figure it out in my dumb dinosaur brain how else to say this, but
So just say,
who's done more with less?
The only other person at this point that probably will win National Coach of the Year, especially if they roll undefeated to a national title, is Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's the shoe-in at this point, but P.J. Fleck certainly in the running, if not the front runner, for Big Ten Coach of the Year. Because you want to know what? Ryan Day, they go undefeated, and they get a spot in the college football playoff. They're supposed to do that, right? Just like all those years with Urban, and just like all those years with Jim Tressel, and even some of the John Cooper years. You're Ohio State. You're supposed to do that. And quite frankly, if Ryan Day goes undefeated, beats Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game, there is absolutely no reason why he should not be considered the Big Ten Coach of the Year, as well as finalist for the National Coach of the Year. Come on! Your first year ever as a head coach in any way, shape, or form, and he's doing what he's doing right now with this Ohio State team. I'm sorry. You're the shoe-in at that point, even over Ed Orgeron. Especially if they win the national championship against LSU.
I don't disagree with you at all. But I hate that. I don't hate anything, really. But I dislike the, this is what we're supposed to do. Okay. What's that mean? I understand that we're a good football team, but we still have to go out there. I got three takeaways from yesterday.
Okay.
We finally had our first true test in Penn State.
Yep.
We've been saying it 6, 7, 8 times this year,
yep.
But we finally had our true test. Secondly, Chase Young is an absolute difference maker, and I was completely wrong on my statement that I didn't make a difference whether or not we had Chase Young. I'm so happy that we had him back yesterday, and he set the tone for the defense, and defense pretty much controlled the football game except for that third quarter, which, you know, they were put in 2-3 bad, really bad positions. And number three, we're the best team in the country.
I'm not ready to go out on that limb just yet, brother. Still got at least 2 games left to play, and then, of course, possibly 2 more if they get into the playoff. But by the looks of things, you know, LSU stomped the crap out of Arkansas, and that's something they should have done because Arkansas is just a terrible football team this year. But LSU right now, you know, I think you were saying to me earlier, basically at this point, LSU and Ohio State, probably even throw in Clemson and whoever the rest of the field, because there's so much possible anarchy, dude, that could happen on the national landscape going into this last weekend, as well as in 2 weeks when the conference championship games are played. That fourth spot is not locked up. You know what I mean? It is
not at all.
It's completely up for grabs. As long as LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson all win out, they're obviously in. You're an undefeated Power 5 conference champion. You're in.
Yep.
Period, point blank. But then that fourth spot, you know, this is where some things could get weird. So I don't know if you're ready to move on to this or not, or you wanted to talk a little bit more about yesterday's game.
I'm ready to move on.
All right, so this is, you know, some of the scenarios I was kind of looking up and going over before we started the podcast. And last night, Oregon upset on the road by Arizona State, 31-28. They're done. Their chances, even though they still have a spot in the Pac-12 championship game, this is now Utah's opportunity to possibly get in. But Oregon losing, they've now got 2 losses on the year. They're out of the CFP conversation. And then even then, I think that greatly diminishes the Pac-12's chance of getting in, because if Utah does win, and it's a close win, well, that is if Utah even gets into the Pac-12 championship, because right now, only 2 conferences, Kevin, have solidified both teams in the game. The SEC, LSU, Georgia, and Big 12 in Baylor and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So right now, you still have questions on who is going to be the other team in the respective conference championship game. So, of course, the Big Ten yesterday, Ohio State clinched, but still don't know if it's going to be Minnesota or Wisconsin, and we'll find out this upcoming weekend. With the Pac-12, Oregon is in. I mean, they're in. They can even lose again to Oregon State, and they're still in the Pac-12 championship game. However, Utah, USC, right now Utah has the edge on the Trojans. The Trojans have only lost two conference games. And the thing is, Kevin, their season, done. Yesterday's game against UCLA, that was their last game of the year. They're not even playing this weekend. So USC has to hope that somehow Colorado can go on the road to Salt Lake City and upset the Utes. Because if they do, it's probably not going to happen. But if somehow Utah does lose at home to Colorado, now all of a sudden USC is the representative of the Pac-12 South and will play Oregon in a rematch from a game they had at the beginning of the month here in November. That's going to be a rematch for the Pac-12 championship. Now, more than likely, not going to happen. So let's just say Utah beats Colorado. It's Utah-Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. If Utah wins that game, and I think they would have to pull an OSU 2014-esque championship game performance over Oregon where they just absolutely destroy Oregon for a chance to even have a sniff now at getting in to the top four. Because if they come out and they just maybe win by a touchdown or something like that, and it's against a two-loss Oregon team, I don't think that's going to give them enough credit to get in.
I agree with you.
So you've got that scenario. Then you've also got the ACC, which totally isn't set yet. Clemson is in. However, we're going to find out this weekend between Virginia Tech and Virginia, who have their annual end-of-the-year rivalry game. And whoever wins that game is going to represent the ACC Coastal against Clemson in the ACC Championship. But quite frankly, who the hell cares about that? Because I'm sure it doesn't matter who Clemson plays, they're probably going to beat either team, right? And roll on to an undefeated, ACC championship. The Big 12, however, I think, as far as if it's going to be a rematch from the game that just happened, what, two weekends ago? Or like this past weekend, obviously not.
Last weekend.
Yeah, like not yesterday, but a week ago between Baylor.
We were literally by the nail in Oklahoma's coffin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Baylor. Literally. I mean, the way Baylor folded in that game, dude, was just nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. It was.
To quote Andy Evans. Weird.
Dude, Oklahoma definitely got weird in that comeback win against Baylor. But they're going to have a rematch. I think if there is going to be a Big 12 representative, it's got to be Oklahoma, because I think Baylor is too far down in the rankings, and they've just squeaked by teams here and there in some of their wins. Granted, they had a hell of a game against Oklahoma and should have won. Like you said, everybody was driving the nail in Oklahoma's coffin because Baylor was up like, what, 28-3 or something at one point?
28, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and the final score, I think, was 38-35, so Oklahoma put on one hell of a comeback performance. But if you are going to have a representative from the Big 12, it's probably got to be Oklahoma. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the college football playoff rankings when they come out on Tuesday, because you had 6th-ranked Oregon lose, 8th-ranked Penn State lose. So Utah at least jumps up a spot to number 6. I think Oregon falls at least to number 9. Penn State's out of the top 10. Oklahoma probably moves up 2 spots to number 7. And Minnesota, dude, who was the 10th ranked team, they probably jump up 2 spots to number 8. So, you know, Minnesota's got a lot in front of them. But if the Big 12 is going to have a representative, it's more than likely got to be Oklahoma. Because right now, Baylor is ranked 14th. In the country. I mean, how much credit are they not getting right now? I mean, you've got 3 2-loss teams that are ahead of them in Florida, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So,
well, that's another thing. I mean, Baylor's not much different. I guess they're a little bit, but not much different than Minnesota. I mean, it took a signature win for Minnesota, you know, to get some love, and then, of course, they just got knocked right back down. But still, I mean, I think that what happens – if Alabama goes out and beats Auburn in the Iron Bowl next week, isn't Alabama the fourth team?
See, I here's my thing, and I get it that the committee was not formed to just put four out of the five Power Conference champions in, and whoever the, you know, four best Power 5 Conference champs are, they should automatically have a game in the college football playoff. I get it.
I get it.
That's not why they were formed. But, you know, Alabama, you know, I guess kind of go look at it like this. Is a Power 5 one-loss champ not more deserving of getting in than a one-loss non-conference champ, regardless of who that one-loss non-conference champ is? You know, if it's
I think the only time that scenario matters is if it's not Alabama.
So basically,
and it's almost like what's his? I can only like to say his name.
Saban.
Yeah. It's almost like he has, like, a membership card into the college football playoff. It's like he bought a membership card. He's always going to walk in there. I think the only time a one-loss conference champ is better than a one-loss non-conference champ is as long as it's not Alabama. Everybody loves Alabama now.
Well, but what if it's LSU close loss to Georgia in the SEC championship game? Georgia's in, right? Because they're SEC champ. It's almost like if you're a team in the SEC and if you don't have at least two losses, I think as long as you're a one-loss SEC champ, you're always, at least at this point, always going to get that. They have a membership card of getting in. You're always going to have a spot in the top four if you're a one-loss conference champ in the SEC. Now, let's say Georgia, tight game, tough game, LSU, either way, let's just say they blow LSU out, and LSU now has one loss. I think in this situation, this year, because they beat Alabama, if both LSU and Alabama have one loss and are not the conference champion, personally, if you're going to put a one-loss non-conference champ in, right now, LSU, I think, has the best chance of any one-loss non-conference champion of getting in.
I agree with you on that. And that's why I always poo-poo these if this then that, because every time somebody says that, I change my mind. Like just less than a minute ago, I said Alabama has a one-loss non-conference gets in every time. Well, I'm wrong, because LSU this year, if they lose, then they're in instead of Alabama, and
yeah.
Georgia's automatically in. So, what if I can't keep it all straight in my head?
I know. I'm
with you. Changed my mind again in less than a minute.
Well, okay. So then let me throw this at you. LSU beats Georgia. Okay, Utah wins the Pac-12 over a two-loss Oregon. Oklahoma beats Baylor yet again. Ohio State and Minnesota are undefeated. Ohio State and Clemson are undefeated conference champions, all right? And LSU beats Georgia. So now, once again, you've got those three, they're in. Is there an opportunity at that point for Alabama to stay ahead of a one-loss Oklahoma or a one-loss Utah? I mean, do you?
Well, I think we already see that, though, right? We already see. So last Tuesday, they're ahead of both a one-loss Oklahoma and a one-loss Utah, right?
But that is only because they're a one-loss Alabama, and as we saw in 2014, when Ohio State was in sixth place behind both TCU and Baylor, just because Ohio State buried Wisconsin in the conference championship game, then the committee jumped Ohio State two spots. So in this scenario, if Oklahoma and Utah are both one-loss conference champions, is the committee maybe going to go, you know what, Alabama? You had your opportunity to prove that you were a Power 5 conference champion. Granted, you got one loss, and it was a tight loss to the number one team in the country. But does the committee not kind of go, well, you know what, though? You weren't a conference champion. And as we know, they do hold conference championships in pretty high regard. So if they're not a conference champion, does maybe Utah leap them and get into the fourth spot? But I can't see Utah. I know right now Utah is seventh in the country, probably going to be sixth. And I just, but God, I mean, Utah, do you really see, though, Utah as being one of the top four teams in the country? And maybe that's nope. Just because of just the past, you know? Utah has never been considered like a football school. Granted, last 10 years or so, Utah has come on, and they've had some great teams. They've had some solid wins. I remember when Utah beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl back about 10 years ago, and that was kind of their huge signature liftoff win to get them into the national conversation, but still, I just don't see Utah as being one of the top four teams. But once again, if you're going to have them that highly ranked and they go 12-1 with a Pac-12 championship, I think they've got more of an argument of getting in over Alabama, quite frankly.
You think so?
I do, just because, once again, my personal feeling is that if you are a one-loss Power 5 conference champion, personally, my feelings, and once again, I get it that that's not why the committee was formed, but I just really do feel that if you're a one-loss Power 5 conference champion, you should get in over a one-loss non-conference champion. I really think that should be part of the criteria. And I know it's not, but that's just my personal feeling. So do I think...
Okay, so let's say in 2 weeks, let's say that scenario holds true. Ohio State, Clemson, LSU are all undefeated.
Yep.
Baylor or Oklahoma wins theirs, Utah wins theirs.
Right.
We sat down that day, and we didn't say playoffs. We just sat down that day and said, "Who are the what's the top four?" You would put Utah above Alabama?
See, that's the thing, is I truly in my heart don't believe that Utah could beat Alabama. I think it'd be a hell of a football game, quite frankly.
I don't.
In my heart of hearts, yeah. Do I think Alabama's probably a better football team than Utah? Yes. Do I think they're a better football team than Oklahoma? Probably yes. That'd be kind of fun to watch Hurts play against Alabama.
Yeah, but I don't think Hurts beats Alabama's backup quarterback.
I think he does. I think Hurts is better than Mac Jones. Now I'm not saying.
I'm not saying that Hurts is not better. Of course he's better than Mac Jones. But what I'm saying is Alabama with Mac Jones at quarterback, I think rolls Oklahoma.
Well, Oklahoma's defense is certainly suspect, yes. But we know Alabama's defense has been pretty suspect this year, too. They haven't necessarily been the, you know, ironclad Alabama of old, the staunch defenses where they're just, you know, forcing a bunch of turnovers. I mean, they've been giving up their fair share of yards and points this year, too. I think that would be a hell of a game. I really do. I think both defenses would give up a shitload of yards and points, but it might come down to who has the ball last kind of thing. But I would say that probably Alabama's defense is still probably better than Oklahoma's, and that might give them the edge. But quite honestly, I think Oklahoma's offense is probably better than Alabama's. And Mac Jones is a hell of a backup quarterback. But
yeah, they are the Pac-12. I mean, they are the Big 12.
Right.
That's all they do is throw the ball all over the place.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. Ohio State loses to Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game. LSU wins. Minnesota is now a one-loss Big Ten champ. Ohio State has one loss, but they're a non-conference champion sitting at number two. Clemson wins. Does Ohio State maybe get the benefit of the doubt and stay ahead of Alabama if they're going to let in a one-loss non-conference champion? If the Buckeyes lose to Minnesota or Wisconsin, because we still don't know, Would Ohio State maybe get the benefit of the doubt? Now, but here's the thing. If Minnesota beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, and Minnesota is a one-loss Big Ten champ, does that not maybe screw the Big Ten overall? Because how could you legitimately put a one-loss Big Ten champion, Minnesota, still behind Ohio State if Minnesota were to win that game? Would you not have to put them in the top four?
I don't think you can lose that late and be a non-conference. It's just too late, right?
That's what I feel, honestly. If Minnesota beats Ohio State, I mean, I think personally that the Big Ten's best chance to getting a team into the playoff is undoubtedly
winning out.
It's Ohio State, okay. Because if Minnesota pulls off the upset, I think they're ranked too low to get in. Obviously, if it's Wisconsin having two losses, you're not putting a two-loss Wisconsin into the college football playoff. Period.
Well, if the worst thing in the world happens next Saturday, which I don't think either one of us think it's going to, but it very well could. It's up there.
You never know.
If that happens and we still win the Big Ten, I think we get in then.
Now, that would be, I think, the best scenario for a one-loss Ohio State to get in. Because if you're going to lose, don't lose in the Big Ten championship game.
Correct.
If it is
correct.
Against a one-loss Minnesota. If
anybody,
exactly. If you're Ohio State and you have one loss and you're getting in, then, God forbid, get it out of the way this coming Saturday against the Rodents in the Big House. So
yeah, we go up to Ann Arbor and we get beat, let's say, 25-24 on a last-second field goal.
Now, see,
something like that.
Do you think there's some sort of, like, point differential that, let's say, Michigan wins by...
Oh, I think if we go up there and we lose by three touchdowns, I don't think we get into the playoff. But I think if we go up there and it's a real tight game, it's one of those game of the century type things, I think we still get in. If we go the next week and roll or beat whomever it may be, Minnesota or Wisconsin, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think if Ohio State loses, it's got to be close because, yes, it is the game. It's a rivalry game. It's on the road. The Rodents haven't won in seven straight effing years, Kevin. They haven't won. I mean, they've got two goddamn wins since 2001. Two! The Rodents have two fucking wins against Ohio State in the last 17 games. Well,
right.
Technically, they got two wins. Well, the 2010 win was vacated by Ohio State. But nonetheless, in the last 17 games, the Rodents have only won two. So, if Ohio State loses, it's got to be close. And they've obviously still got that opportunity then to knock off a one-loss Minnesota, who's more than likely going to be ranked in the top 10 if they can beat Wisconsin this coming Saturday. But if Ohio State is still going to make it in, that's it. That is your scenario as far as being a one-loss Ohio State and still getting in. They can only lose to the motherfucking team up north. And that's it.
Gross.
You know, I know.
Yeah.
Isn't that disgusting to think that if Ohio State...
You can't... This game means so much to every one of these players, from gold pants to bragging rights. And at some point, you know, 2-17 against Ohio State is going to change to 3-something. And it seems like, you know, the storm's kind of brewing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch them yesterday at all, but... Boy, they look like a complete football team.
Telling you what,
I'm not saying they're better. I don't think they're better. I'm not saying they're better, but I think that it's going to be a good football game.
Yeah, I don't think that Michigan. Oh boy, I just said their name. Oh crap. I don't think that team up north, the smelly, disgusting Rodents, are better than Ohio State. But I will say that since their game with Penn State, that second half, they kind of turned the corner. That's been the game that has propelled them to looking a lot better the last few games than they had all season long. I mean, this was a smelly Rodent team that just, I mean, their offense just looked pathetic. pathetic throughout most of the season. And they finally, once again, I think they turned that corner in the second half of the Penn State game, and their offense has definitely looked much better. And yes, against a Indiana team that yesterday was 7-3, going to a bowl game, had put up a good fight on the road against Penn State, and the Rodents, you know, kicked their butts in. I mean, it was what, 39-14 was the final score. So yeah, the Rodents looked they looked impressive yesterday in that win. I'll kind of give them a little bit of credit on that. So.
Yeah, they looked very good. I thought Indiana would have put up a bigger, a bigger fight than
I did too.
But
yeah, that was one of the games you touched on.
They were at home, right?
Yeah. It was in Bloomington. That was one of the games you touched on that you were kind of looking forward to after Ohio State's game, of checking out and seeing what could happen. And you did. You thought Indiana was going to put up. In fact, didn't you say Indiana was going to beat the Rodents?
Yep, I called the upset.
Yeah, so
I don't trust Harbaugh. I still don't trust him. I don't understand.
I know.
Probably the first week of the season, or second week of the season. No, it was the Army game. Third week of the season, I said, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on in Ann Arbor. And now it seems like they've turned the corner, but I still don't trust them.
I agree with you, and we're going to find out how motivated old Khaki Pants has his team playing, because quite frankly, you know, of the now, you know, the last four games of the game, really one, maybe one and a half has been a tight ball game. You know, 2016, which I still say to this day, is one of the, if not the greatest OSU smelly rodent games that I've seen in my entire lifetime. I mean, the only game to ever go into overtime. It went into two. You know, the Rodents had control of that game, most of it, and Ohio State had to score late, including a last-second field goal to tie up the game to take it into overtime and then eventually win.
Right.
So that 2016 game is just unbelievable, epic game. And then, you know, you had the next year in 2017 up there where Michigan, I said it again, the Rodents jumped out to a 14-0 lead there early in the second quarter, and then, of course, Ohio State finally battled back, scored two touchdowns in the second quarter to make it 14-14, but hell, going into the third quarter, the Rodents score, but then our boy Denzel Ward with a blocked extra point makes it 20-14. And then after that, you know, Ohio State scores 17 points. And, of course, the whole miraculous JT Barrett getting injured by a photographer's cart, racing around on the sidelines. Good old Dwayne Haskins has to come in on a 3rd-and-11, or I think it was 3rd-and-13.
Unbelievable pass, yeah.
Throws just a looping, arcing pass to Austin Mack, who makes the catch
Austin
in
Mack.
Between two defenders, gets walloped and put out for the rest of the game. But yeah, that just epic, you know, performance by Haskins leads them to 17 points, and the Buckeyes end up winning somewhat, you know, convincingly, 31-20. So aside from that, yeah, the 2015 game was close at halftime, 14-10 Ohio State, and then Ohio State ended up rolling what the hell was the final score? I can't believe I'm blanking on this. 42-13, I believe, was the final score in 2017. And then, of course, last year, we remember Dwayne Haskins' epic performance in leading Ohio State to the most amount of points that they've ever scored in a single game against the Rodents. 62-39 was the final score. So, you know, you take all of that into account, dude. But that's the thing. I mean, Khakis, I don't know yet. I don't know. You know, yeah, I'm with you. I don't fully trust Harbaugh in getting his guys motivated when it comes to these big-time games. But
Agreed. So I just looked up the weather for next weekend, and then we kind of skipped over some things, but we went right to the Ohio State Michigan game. 52 degrees is the high, and it's a 50% chance of rain.
Ooh.
So it looks like it's gonna be a fall day. It's gonna be sloppy, So, you know, we might see J.K. Dobbins with another 160-yard performance.
Boy, that would be great. That would be great. And I tell you what, let's not do too much of a preview here because, sir, we are going to be doing another Foul Mouth Friday,
baby.
Podcast. We're going to be doing it in style because we're going to be talking about the game. And I'm actually going to be having a special guest come on with us. And maybe even two special guests. And I think we're going to have fun on this this week's Friday edition of the show. And obviously everybody be on the lookout for that. That's going to be coming out on hopefully sometime Friday, not as late as we got this last Friday football Foul Mouth Football podcast, but nonetheless, Mr. Iams, what else did you want to talk about before we hang him up?
Okay. I want to talk about this ridiculous schedule that the SEC has in November.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I don't understand why they're allowed to play Samford in Western Carolina. It makes no sense to me. It should not be allowed. After the first two or three games of the season, you should not be able to play teams that don't even belong on the field. Like, the interest in the Harvard-Yale game yesterday was higher than Alabama's game. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Alabama gets to play one game the entire year, and then they get to be vaunted as the best team in the country. Same thing with Clemson. Why does the ACC allow them to play this schedule? It makes no sense to me. The SEC is not as good as everybody thinks it is. I understand the media hypes them up, and ESPN's on the SEC train, but they're not that good because they don't play anybody. They have two byes. I know we had two byes this year, but they have two byes every year, and then they might as well have another bye the week before they play their Iron Bowl. Here come the there's not even iron in Alabama. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. It's very upsetting, the fact that they get to play these Sisters of the Poor that they play and still get to be considered as a good football team.
Boy, I don't know if I have any retort to that. I completely agree 100% with everything you just said. Yeah, I don't get it either. I thought that the SEC was going to a 9-game conference schedule, which pretty much every other, except I think ACC, every other Power 5 conference has. Hell, if you look at...
ACC might as well be a football subdivision class, too. They got one team. Miami's horrible. Florida State's horrible. Virginia Tech can't get off the gosh darn floor. They're horrible. It's horrible. It's gross.
Yeah, you know what? ACC is the other Power 5 conference that only has 8 games. Well, that was just like yesterday. I think Duke played Mercer. Like, legitimately, Duke played Mercer yesterday. No, I'm sorry. They played Wake Forest. What was I? Oh, no. You know what? I was looking at a basketball score. But still.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Hey, at least Duke plays Wake Forest in November. I'm sorry. When November rolls around, you should be starting to put all of your ducks in a row. You should be developing the team in a positive direction and not playing Sanford.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that has now been an official Kevin Iams Buckeye Leavecast rant. Couldn't have said it any better myself, sir. Oh, sir. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on here. I know you got some pro stuff to be taking a look at because we're less than an hour from kickoff here as far as the pro schedule of games today. So
yes, we're an hour away from the Bengals and the Steelers, which,
oh God,
you know, I don't know what the hell. And then we got the Browns and the Dolphins. So
yeah,
I'm gonna have both TVs going. I'm looking at the weather in all these cities to see what's gonna happen. But my Steelers this year, gosh darn it, it's just so embarrassing.
Yeah, that was that must have been a little bit of a junk kick for you there. What, last Thursday when Your Steelers dropped a game to the Brownies, and boy, in what fitting fashion at the end there. You serious?
Oh, fantastic. That's great. That's fantastic. That guy's such an idiot.
Oh, man.
Did he go to an SEC school?
Miles Garrett?
Yeah.
Technically, yeah. He was at A&M.
Yeah. There you go. They not only don't play anybody in football, they also produce weirdos.
Sounded like you wanted to say something even more hateful than that. Yeah, yeah. But that good restraint on your part, sir. Good restraint.
I don't hate anybody. Yeah. I love everybody.
I feel you.
All about love. I want to spread the love, spread the peace.
Yeah.
My motto the last 6 weeks has been just be nice. So
treat others
really
how you want to be treated.
Yeah, if you knew how I wanted to be treated, you wouldn't say that.
Oh, so you like to be treated like a piece of crap, huh?
It depends on how much leather she has on.
Hey, hello. An exclusive Buckeye Leaf cast. Bit of info from my man, Kevin Hines.
Breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks once again for downloading this edition of the Buckeye Leaf Cast. Of course, Kevin, thank you, sir, taking time out of your busy Sunday morning to talk a little bit of OSU football. Nice little win there yesterday against the Nittany Lions. And, of course, we've got the game coming up this weekend. And we will be talking more about that in style, for sure, on another Foul Mouth Friday edition of the Buckeye Leaf Cast. And I can't wait to do it with you, brother.
Very excited to be on, Andy Evans. I love doing this every Sunday morning. It's become a thing for me, so I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. Love being on the podcast with you. Hopefully we can get some more listeners. Anybody listening to this right now, can you please do us a favor? Can you please like and share whatever social media content you use or platform that you use? Please get this out to as many people as possible. You know, Andy and I, you know, don't see each other a lot, but we get to sit down every Sunday morning and talk about football. And, you know, we try really hard, and we're trying to get some more listeners. So help us out if you can.
Yeah, no, thanks, man. And absolutely, you know, we're on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We are on Podbean. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. Dude, we are now officially on Spotify. So we're
all the platforms, buddy.
Yeah, just about every single platform out there you can think of, we are on. And yeah, you know, I mean, we put a lot of work into this, quite frankly. You know, as far as just even after we get off the phone here, you know, this takes a little bit of time to put it together, make it sound as good as possible. And, you know, for something that you and I mean, we have a blast talking about, but it's nice to know if people are out there liking and sharing our content and helping us build the brand of the Buckeye Leaf Cast is definitely something important, because quite frankly, why sit here and do a podcast if you're not trying to make something out of it? And if you're not trying to get people to listen and to spread the love, and you know, either people are listening and they think we suck and that's why they're not sharing our content, or you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I think in a lot of today's day and age, I mean, I think a lot of people will just kind of listen to it and be like, hey, that's, you know, been a great show. I have a lot of people tell me, dude, I've listened to the podcast before and you guys sound great, and I think it's a lot of fun, and you guys are funny, and you know, so on and so forth. So yeah, definitely, man, that's good props to talk about, Kevin. Is if people are listening, hey, don't hesitate to like and share our content, and otherwise, if not, well, keep listening, but fuck you.
I like that. That's pretty funny.
Oh,
like
my that. Man, all right, well, until the Foul Mouth Friday podcast, sir, let's leave them like we always do. OH
Ohio, baby!
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
I
want
to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town, to the stadium to hear the band, by far the finest in the land. I want to go back to Ohio State, to old Columbus Town. I want to go back, I gotta go back to Ohio.